First, I want to start by saying that I realize that things that are going on in our country, around the world, are a bit distracting, and it takes effort to focus on why we're here. And the lesson that I'm going to talk about tonight is titled, How Do You Market the Church? And you might think, well, how do I market the church? We have this global pandemic. Well, when this was scheduled, there was no global pandemic. So I'm going to ask you in your minds to kind of fast forward to normalcy in 3 or 4 or however many weeks there might be, and think about how we'll market the church then. But also, we have a great opportunity now. The world is watching. The world is always watching Christians, especially in times of trouble. So I do think that there are lessons that we'll talk about tonight that are applicable right now, and even more so maybe in a few weeks to come. 1, 2, 3, let's go. That's how it felt when I was sitting in my first meeting as a new deacon with the elders, Scott Bradford to my left. He turned and looked at me and said, Jeremy, what do you think about marketing the church? And then time stood still. It was like the Matrix where those bullets are flying through him and everything just kind of came to a screeching halt. And I thought, I don't know what I think about marketing the church. I've never thought about marketing the church. It kind of feels funny. I don't know about that. I've been in marketing for over 20 years in my job and think about marketing every single day. My degree's in marketing. But I've never once thought about marketing the church. And then, I don't know how long it took me to respond, but time came back to normal, and faith took over, and I said, I think that's a great idea, or something to that effect. And in my heart, I was thinking, I trust you. You're asking me to market the church. I'm not sure how I feel about that yet, but I'm going to work it out. You, as my eldership, are asking me to do it, so I think it's a great idea. So, marketing the church, how do we feel about marketing the church? Why should we even market the church? Well, we should market the church because when we do, we give God glory. And God deserves all glory. 3 things I want to look at to demonstrate why God deserves glory. First of all, He is our Creator. God is our Creator. We know in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. There was nothing before God. In the beginning, He's our Creator. Revelation chapter 14 and verses 6 through 7 says, Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give Him glory, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water. So why should we market the church? Well, we should market the church because it's His church, and when we do, we give Him glory. He's our Creator. He's our Sustainer. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 reads, For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. In Him all things consist. If there was no God sustaining us, all things would not consist. They would cease to exist. So why should we market the church? Well, because God deserves the glory as our Creator, as our Sustainer, and as our Savior. Acts chapter 4, verses 11 through 12 says, This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men, by which we must be saved. So, how do you feel about marketing the church? Well, you should feel pretty good about it, Because when you do, you're giving God glory, and He deserves the glory. So, how do we market the church? Well, we market the church by giving God the glory. And that might seem a little obvious, given what we just talked about. But before we jump into these three points here, I want to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus talked about some people in the Sermon on the Mount that were marketing their faith. Marketing the church, marketing their faith. And I want to point out some things that they did that he condemned that we want to avoid. First of all, he talked about when they gave of their money. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." So he did not say, don't give. He said, when you give, don't do it so that other people pay attention and notice you. Don't show up with the big cardboard check and lay it on top of the communion plate as it's passing around. Keep on in that chapter. Now in verse 5, he talks about praying. He says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." He says, when you pray, don't do it to be seen by men. When you give, don't do it to be seen by men. If you do, you have your reward. Still in that same chapter, in verse 16, he talks about fasting. He says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." The point that Jesus is making is not that fasting is wrong, not that praying is wrong, not that giving is wrong, but their hearts were wrong. They were not marketing the church. They were marketing themselves. They were marketing their faith to receive the glory for themselves. We're going to talk about marketing the church in the way that Jesus wants us to. In fact, in that same Sermon on the Mount, he gives us examples of how he does want us to market the church. But first, we're going to look at marketing the church in the church. Ephesians chapter 3, and verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory." Where? In the church. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. So where does God want us to glorify him? Well, he wants us to glorify him in the church. So hopefully by now you're thinking, marketing the church. Well, maybe that feels a little bit better than it did 5 or 10 minutes ago. I hope so. And I hope that by the time we're finished, you've come to the same realization that I came to, which is not only is it okay to market the church, it's absolutely essential to market the church. God wants us to give him glory in the church. He wants us to give him glory by our good deeds. In that same book, Ephesians chapter 2, now looking at verse 8 through 10, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." When we do good things, it doesn't make us good people. It makes us obedient servants. We are created for good works. When we do those good works, are we marketing our faith? Or are we marketing the church? Are we doing it so that we will receive the glory? or so that God will receive the glory. It could be something small, like when you hold a door for someone to come in. They say, well, aren't you so nice? And you say, thank you. In your mind, you think, yes, I am. Or do you say, I'm just trying to be a humble servant. Or just trying to treat you the way I want to be treated. Or any other thing that deflects that good work away from you and onto the Father. That's the difference between marketing your faith and marketing his church. And that's what Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. We read chapter 6 a minute ago where he told us the things that he didn't want us to do. He didn't want us to take glory for it. But like Robbie read in that same sermon, we read in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Again, Jesus says, do good works. Not that they will see you and praise you, but they will give glory to our God in heaven. So, marketing the church, is it right to do that? Well, yeah, it is right to do that. How do we do that? We do that as the church. We do that by doing good works. And we do that by not being ashamed of them. If we would have kept reading in Matthew chapter 6, you'll come to verses that come to mind. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. When you pray, go into closets to pray so that others don't see you. That's in the section of Scripture where he's talking about the wrong heart. He's talking about people that were marketing themselves in that section of Scripture. Here, what we just read in Matthew chapter 5, he says, do good works and let everybody know about it. Do good works so that people see those good works and give glory to God. I know you want to give glory to God. If you wouldn't want to do that, you wouldn't be here right now in the middle of this national emergency. The fact that there are so many people here, the fact that there were so many people watching online, is a testament to the fact that we want to give glory to God. Jesus says when you do that, don't hide. Don't be ashamed. Don't be bashful. Just point people to God. Do good things and let people see your good works that they may bring glory to God. So, what does that really look like? Well, in that same section there, the Beatitudes exist. Immediately before Jesus says, do good works because you're the salt of the world. Do good works because you're the light of the world. Immediately before that, he talks about the Beatitudes. By the way, salt has a few characteristics that we as Christians should have. One of them is to bring out the best in things. This never happens at my house, because Steph is a perfect cook. But if it were to happen that the food didn't taste quite like I wanted it to, I could pour a little salt on it, make it taste better. Salt also preserves. I like country ham a lot, and it is very salty. Salt brings out the best, salt preserves. Well, you know what we're supposed to do as Christians? We're supposed to bring out the best in the world. We're supposed to help preserve it. If we don't, it's worthless. Ready to be trampled underfoot by men. Well, what about light? John chapter 1 talks about Jesus being the light that came into the world, and the light overcame the darkness. The two cannot exist at the same place at the same time, light and darkness. Light wins. We're supposed to be the light. Anybody here afraid of the light? No. Nobody's afraid of the light. Because you can see what's around you. What about afraid of the dark? Yeah, I'm afraid of the dark. You don't know what's in the dark. You don't know what that rustling is over there. Are those eyes that you can kind of see over there staring at you? Are the noises that you hear off in the distance? We're afraid of the dark because we don't know what's there. It's uncertain. It's scary. But not the light. As Christians, we're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to help show the way to the world around us. So what does that look like? Looks like Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, when Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So what's it look like to market the church? It looks like living our lives every day like the Beatitudes, being humble, mourning with those that mourn, hungering and thirsting for the righteousness of our Lord, being merciful. Things that we probably kind of take for granted. That's just the way we're supposed to be. And it is. Marketing the church looks like consistency and focus in our lives. The Christian walk. The same is true with our message, with what we say. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Consistency in what we do in our lives, with what we say in our lives. That's marketing the church. People are more likely to hear and remember what you do than what you say. For example, if I was to take a bite of food and I said, "Well, it tastes so good," no one would believe me because you're reading my facial expression and you can see, ooh, that hit him bad. Despite the fact that at the same time I said, "That tastes so good," you didn't hear that. You heard my facial expression. If we're going to market the church the way the Lord wants us to, we have to be consistent in what we say and how we live our lives. And in our media. Okay, now you hit me with a marketing. That sounds like marketing. Well, I don't know about that. Well, it's all the same thing. Media, that's how we communicate. It could be what we say. It could be what we do. It could be social media, which is what a lot of people think of when they hear marketing. Well, you know what? Marketing existed a long time before social media did. I graduated from Western Kentucky University in 1998. You know what didn't exist then? Well, YouTube didn't exist then. Google Chrome didn't exist then. Facebook didn't exist then. Twitter didn't exist then. All of these things did not exist. But you know what did? Marketing. In the next few weeks, we're going to have the chance to be on local television a couple of different times on both WBKO and WNKY. We have a fantastic website that you should go to often if you haven't been there. It has things like drills and skills for kids and adults, memory verses, events, calendars, things that are going on are communicated there. We have a Facebook site that is getting thousands of views. You should go there. We have Twitter, we have Instagram, we have all the things that that you might have thought about when I said marketing at the beginning. We have those things, but you know what? The best marketing tool that we have is not on this screen. The best marketing tool that we have is what I'm looking at right now. It's you. The best marketing tool that we have is each other. Word of mouth advertising, word of mouth promotion is the most effective means there is, because when we hear that, it's from a trusted source. It's from somebody that we have a relationship with, that we know. They're not trying to sell us something. If I tell you, man, I found the best iPhone glass case there is, well, you know that I'm not making any money on telling you about glass covers for your iPhone. I'm telling you that because, oh, he really found one. It's the same way with the church and anything else. So the best marketing tool we have is you. So the question is, what message do you send? Everybody that you know knows Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you're here. And if they don't, then you're not doing it right. But I'm confident the people that you know that you're a Christian. I'm confident the people that you know probably even know you're a Christian that worships with the South Green Street Church of Christ. You don't have to wear a shirt like the one on the screen for people to know that. If you want to, you can, but you don't have to. What message do you send when you go to work? What message do you send when you go to school? What message do you send when the whole world around you is in crisis and you know the Prince of Peace? We have an opportunity right now with the things that are going on to make such a difference in our world. Such a difference, because people are watching us and they want to know, why aren't they nervous like I'm nervous? Why aren't they buying 3,000 rolls of toilet paper like I'm buying? It's because we are more than conquerors. It's because the one that lives within us is stronger than the one that lives within the world. It's because we know the things on this earth are temporary. So what message do you send? So, marketing the church hopefully feels a lot more comfortable to you now than it did 30 minutes ago. It takes time to get that thought in your head that it's okay to market the church. And not only is it okay to market the church, but Jesus commanded it when he said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Let people see your good works so that they will bring glory to God. That wasn't a suggestion. Hey, if you're free on Friday nights, try this. That's a command. Not only is it okay to market the church, it's a command to market the church. I happen to be the deacon in charge over marketing for this congregation. But I'm looking at a whole room full of teammates. I'm looking at a whole room full of South Green Street's marketing agency. It's up to us. So why should we market the church? Well, God deserves all the glory. He's our creator. He's our sustainer. He's our savior. How do we do that? How do we market the church? Well, we simply give him the glory for the good things we're doing. We're created for good works that God prepared long ago. So when we do them, it doesn't make us great people. That's not why we market the church. We do them, we do good things because God commands us to. And we give him the glory. We give him the glory by being consistent in our lives, in our speech, and whatever we do when we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Marketing the church We're walking, talking billboards everywhere we go, 24/7, all the time. People know we're Christians. So, if your billboard, what you're promoting, what you're marketing, has not been one that gives glory to God, if your message has not been in the name of the Lord, if your lives have not been consistent and focused, living the way that they should be, then you'll have an opportunity here in a moment to come forward and make that known to the church. If you need to confess of those sins and would like the church to pray for you, you'll have that opportunity in a moment. Also, if you're sitting there and you think, you know what? We just talked about bringing glory to God in the church. And you're thinking, well, I'm not in the church. There's a difference between being Christ-like and being in Christ. There's a difference between being Christ-like and being in Christ. You can be Christ-like and do good things. But until you're in Christ, you're lost in your sins. Scripture teaches us the way to get in Christ is to be baptized into Him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul says that when Jesus comes back, He's going to take vengeance on two groups of people. He's going to take vengeance on those that do not know God, and He's going to take vengeance on those that do not obey the gospel. Those that do not know God and those that know God but don't obey Him. Obey the gospel. We know God. And I think looking around the room, most of us have obeyed the gospel. But if you haven't, you'll have the opportunity to do that in a moment too. The gospel, very simply, is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do you obey a death? Well, the same guy that wrote Thessalonians wrote Romans in chapter 6. He tells us, you obey the death when you crucify your old sinful self. Well, how do we obey a burial? Death, burial, resurrection. That's the gospel. How do we obey a burial? Well, we obey a burial when we're baptized into a watery grave. And how do we obey a resurrection? We obey a resurrection when we're raised up out of that watery grave to a new life as Christians, changed from eternally lost to being saved. If you have a need that you would like the church to help you with, whether it's to confess your sins or to be baptized into Christ tonight, won't you make that need known while together we stand and sing?